This is just a guess. Some folks aren't going to hear this episode, more so than normal. Why? It's day two of moose season, at least for Game Management Unit 17C and 17B. 17A gets its start next week. I am betting many folks are already hunting, or, this being a Friday, leaving on tide today to hunt for the weekend. For those that are, I wish you safety and fresh meat. A few folks will hunt locally, possibly because they don't have a boat. I have been in that boat, myself a few times. Others in villages may not need a boat. It's possible an ATV is all that is required to access hunting areas. But the simple fact is, most people will get out where they are going with a boat, and will use that boat quite a bit in going from place to place and hauling a moose once they have one down. A boat can be a very critical means of transportation to the success of killing a moose. It's a pretty safe bet that most of those boats are aluminum skiffs of some sort, with a kicker ranging from, say, 40 horses to over 100. My own such boat is a 20-foot alumi-weld with a 90 horse on the back. That said, as the phrase goes, there's more than one way to skin a cat, or, in this case, hunt for and haul a moose. Some boats really blow. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Perhaps I should have phrased that, some boats really need to be blown up, as in air put into them. I'm talking about inflatable watercraft, and while certainly not the answer to most hunting applications, they sure can have a place. I have used them successfully to get into places for caribou and moose, both to get me there and to haul animals afterwards, and I was darn glad to have them when I did. In fact, this episode comes on the heels of me getting a couple of my inflatables ready for my own moose season this year. They are one more tool to have at your disposal, and there are some darn good reasons to own a boat that needs to be blown up. Let's consider some of those reasons and how inflatables can be very handy. My own experiences with such watercraft, since coming to Southwest Alaska, were initially born of a very simple reason. They were cheap, and I didn't have a lot of money. They allowed me to get out onto water, whereas I otherwise would not have been able to. My first was a two-person Colorado canoe. $300 and free shipping got it to my door. This was during the early days of my marriage, and it was just me and my wife, and we used it quite a bit for fishing. I still have it, and while it hasn't been used in years, my youngest daughter is about to take it over, so I know it will see use going forward. When it became four of us, not two, with two young girls being added to the mix, I picked up an Intex Seahawk 2 raft with a trolling motor, with the total for both costing a bit over $200. It was a tight fit, but it hauled all four of us, and again, we had a lot of fun and went places we otherwise wouldn't have gone, while still on a tight budget. I still have that one as well. More recently, about 7 years ago, I picked up a Saturn Kubot. At 15 feet long and hauling over 1,000 pounds, I consider it one of the best outdoor purchases I've ever made. It's narrow, very stable, and has a small transom on the back, so you can row it or put on an outboard. I have done both and quite a bit. I also own a small Zodiac. I picked it up a year or so ago to have a lighter option. I haven't used it much, but like it so far. Again, boats like these aren't going to replace the big ones we need and use for a lot of what we do, but they sure can be nice for certain things, or for getting started and opening up new possibilities without dropping an inheritance to do so. If I made a list, that may be reason number one to own an inflatable, that they can be a very affordable way to get started. It's still possible to find usable inflatables for a couple of $100. Of course, you can probably also go with something rigid for that, such as a canoe or kayak. It kind of comes down to personal needs and what you're looking for. I do think inflatables can have a few benefits that canoes and kayaks might not. A good reason to consider an inflatable is if space is an issue. Put the air in, take the air out. A properly rolled inflatable often doesn't take up a lot of storage space. If you want to get out on the water but you're strapped for space to put things, an inflatable might just be the ticket. I have a very modest-sized, shop, and by modest, that's code for small. I created a couple of overhead storage spaces, and all of my inflatables fit in those spaces, out of sight, out of mind, and stored in such a way, a dry and stable temperature environment, as to prolong their lives during the winter months. A third reason, a good inflatable is a lot more durable and can have a longer life than you might think. Probably, you're going to get holes. It happens. Though catastrophic damage can happen, it's more likely that when holes happen, they can be patched and keep right on going. My Kubota, the one I mentioned earlier, well, the company was fairly new when I bought it. I had concerns about its durability, but decided the price was such that it was worth a roll of the dice. That turned out to be a great decision. It's the one inflatable I have that I don't baby it. Even though it is only 7 years old, I have been delighted. It has sustained two tiny holes, a fish hook to the inflatable insert floor, and a small one to the bottom, thanks to a sharp caribou antler and clumsiness on my part. Both were easily patched and have not been an issue. Another reason, they can get you into places and out of those places that regular boats can't. Yeah, a good jet can get you into skinny waters, and surface drive motors can do the same, but they can be expensive. I have gotten into some sloughs during moose season that I know I could not have otherwise gotten into and hunted, and, just as important, got my moose out afterwards. Also, if it's a fly-in trip, an inflatable is your only option, if you plan to be mobile on the water. And there are some waters that are off-limits to motorized water travel. The right inflatable with good oars can still be nimble and fairly fast. Tied to the storage space reason, they are easier to transport if you don't have a dedicated trailer to haul a boat on. And I know this happens. It's amazing how often people post on the Facebook page, The Trading Post, seeking just a trailer. Now, it's likely those folks already have the boat, so an inflatable isn't the solution for them. But if you want something that doesn't need a trailer, an inflatable is a great way to go. And a last great reason I'll offer up. There is a wide variety of options available, from inexpensive smaller ones that probably do require a little bit of caution on the water, but still get you out there, to more expensive options that can take a whole passel of people. The whole reason for this episode is somewhat contained in this reason. If you want to be out on the water and aren't in a place in your life, for whatever reason, to own a traditional boat, there's still ways to get it done. There are other things to consider in the purchase of an inflatable. Propulsion is one. Will it be a motor or will it be oars? Or maybe both available and you get to choose. Smaller outboards are out there. I currently have two. I have a 1.2 horse two-stroke I got off eBay years ago for $65. It runs like a champ. And no, you did not hear me wrong. 1.2 horse. It weighs a hair over 12 pounds. I have used it, twice, to haul a load consisting of 3 people, gear, and 2 bull caribou. It's not fast with that much weight, but it beats walking. I also have a 6-horse 4-stroke that I use on my Kubota. That combo has gotten used this summer, with my big kicker and anchorage getting fixed. Craigslist can be a decent place to look for smaller outboard options. I actually started off my inflatable life with a trolling motor. It is super quiet, which can be really nice, but because it needs a battery, it is, in some ways, more effort and weight than a gas-powered motor. Oh, and oars. I guess the one thing I'd say is get decent oars that are the right match for whatever inflatable you have. Most come with something. Sometimes they're decent enough to be useful, but often you really need to consider at least a modest upgrade, and not every oar or paddle is created equal or works well with every inflatable. My inflatable canoe, for example, will work okay with a traditional wooden canoe-type paddle, but I find I do better with a two-ended kayak paddle. My Kubota has 6.5-foot aluminum-shafted rafting oars that cost me $35 apiece on Amazon, and they are amazing in maneuvering it when I am floating and rowing and not using an outboard. Your inflatable may or may not benefit from a rafting frame. They can be bought or created. I bought heavy-duty aluminum tubing on Amazon, picked up some other parts on eBay, and made my own frame for my Kubota. A frame and good oars make it a pleasure to row. Another item that will be needed, an air pump. Again, a good one makes a world of difference. It might not cost to significantly upgrade from whatever comes with what you buy. And one last thing, put together repair kits for if things go awry. A good patch kit for sure, and I'll put in a personal plug for the repair tape called Tear Aid. It's available online and even at stores here in Dillingham. It's like an actual weld to the tear when properly applied. I also carry a small, what I call boat box. It has tools for working on a rowing frame and also to work on outboards if I'm using an outboard. Again, an inflatable isn't going to replace a good skiff. That wasn't the purpose in talking about them today. When I started out this episode, it had a more narrow focus of inflatables and hunting, and it broadened somewhat. That's okay. I hope I at least got a few of you thinking. The very last thing I'd share today is something you've likely heard before on here. Always, always have on a PFD when on the water. Always. Be safe in all you do, however you choose to go about it. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.